96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
We have to make up our minds. Either we want to have segregation or integration. And if we don't want segregation, then we need to get rid of channels like BET and the BET Awards and the Image Awards, where you're only awarded if you're black. If it were the other way around, we would be up in arms. It's a double standard.
So you say there shouldn't be a BET channel?
No, I don't think so, no. Just like there shouldn't be a Black History Month. You know, we're Americans, period. That's it.
Are you saying there shouldn't be a Black History Month because there isn't a White History Month?
Exactly.
You've heard them, those now infamous words by actress and Fox News commentator Stacey Dash about the boycott of the Oscars by Will and Jada Pinkett Smith. They came just days before the annual recognition of Black History Month, raising questions and passionate conversations about it. Well, we are talking about that issue tonight. Should we rethink Black History Month? My guests are Dr. Greg Carr, Chair of Afro-American Studies here at Howard University, and Dr. Ife Williams, President and CEO of the National Congress of Black Women Incorporated. Lines are open, 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. You can also comment on my Facebook page at facebook.com/Harold T. Fisher or find me on Twitter at Daily Drum WHUR. Dr. Carr, Dr. Williams, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate
it.
Thank you, Harold.
Okay, let's get right to it. Dr. Carr, what did you think about Ms. Dash's comments? She is not necessarily alone when you talk about the integration of Black history with white history.
Well, I mean, you know, she's right for the wrong reasons. If you look at Carter G. Woodson in 1926, when he started then Negro History Week, he said, this is about the Negro in history. He said, if history is told in its complete measure, then there's no need to have an undue eulogy for the Negro. We can take care of ourselves if you put our story in. Unfortunately, Ms. Dash, who we only know because of black institutions, black popular culture, and so forth, is really just trying to remain relevant in a world where spectacle is the realm of the coin of the realm. Mm-hmm. So she doesn't really know much about this.
But Dr. Williams, if Ms. Dash had her way, you'd be out of a job. Because there would be no National Congress of Black Women. It would just be National Congress of all women.
Let me just say that Ms. Dash is correct in a way. We should not just have Black History Month. We really need to have Black History every day as long as we've been left out of history. So in a way, I agree with her. We should have more than just a month. I mean, even when they gave us the month, it was the shortest month, you know, so we got cheated there too. And we don't have as many days to celebrate ourselves. But I would suggest that all of our people would learn their history. I know I went to little black schools down south and we were taught our history. And I think that's one of the problems now is that not enough of our people, like perhaps Ms. Dash, I don't know where she went to school or where she's from, but she perhaps was not taught the real black history that Carter G. Woodson came into being to try to correct.
But one of the things, and obviously we're here at Howard University, you know, one of the greatest black institutions on the planet. And like many, many HBCUs, and Dr. Carr, you certainly can attest to this, even as chair of the Afro-American Studies Department, is the conversation in your class about black history, or is it just understood and you're just talking about history that happens to be black?
Well, it's a very difficult and uphill battle. And Woodson understood that. You know, our young people suffer from the same ignorance as their parents and as we do. You know, we don't know our history. And, you know, Dr. Williams, I agree with you. It's very interesting. When Woodson started Negro History Week, he picked the second week in February because they had the birthdays of Abraham Lincoln, February 12th, and Frederick Douglass, February 14th. And he said, this really shows the intertwined journey of African people in this country. But it was during the period of segregation. And he said, this is the short period of time during the year when we are to celebrate what we studied the other 51 weeks. And it was in those segregated schools in the South where they had, oh, man, he started something called the Negro History Bulletin in 1937. You see pageants being held in Baton Rouge and Philadelphia and all these pictures coming in. Just before he died, he published an editorial called No Study and Consequently No Celebration. He realized in 1950 that we now look to February as the only time we talk. And it's only about the race problem. Woodson was furious. He said it is clear by the fact that we call for these mischievous orators to talk about the race problem that we have, in fact, gotten African-American History Now month exactly backward. February is not the only time. It's the time you celebrate what you did the rest of the year.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Should we rethink Black History Month? That's the conversation tonight. Let me go to David calling from D.C. David, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
All right. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I actually feel that we don't go far enough. I think we need to go further with Black History Month and understand that our history does not start as being slaves brought to America. I think that's one of the problems, in my opinion, because most African Americans, we think our history starts as slave ships. We are the oldest people on the planet. I mean, the Bible actually is Black History Month, and Black people need to begin to claim that. Those prophets, right, and those people that are spoken on the Bible, it's not like our story is like that of Moses and the prophets and others. It is us. We are the tribe of Judah. We are the children of Israel. And we need to claim it because it's true. It's documented. And we don't have to apologize to white people because we claim that we are different from white people. We've never been the same as white people. This all America under one has never been a part of us. And we should not be ashamed to claim that.
Okay, right? Well, David, thank you. I appreciate your phone call, 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Jalila, I hope I got that right. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Oh, yes, good afternoon. This is Jalila. I just wanted to make a comment about Stacey Dash.
Mm-hmm.
She comes from a different perspective.
Why do you say that?
I think she's still clueless. I think she's striving for attention. Her career is not really booming anymore. And I think she always has something negative to say about us that's not inclusive of what both of us think. I also feel that she has some self-hate. I don't think she would go to Chinatown, Little Italy, any of these other places and approach them that way. Thank you.
Okay, Jalila, thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Should we rethink Black History Month? Is it time for us to let it go? Is it an idea whose time has passed? Or should we take it a step further? 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Rain, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, you know, I'm here listening to the conversation. I just wanted to share one point.
Go ahead.
I feel that, you know, Black History Month is important, and it's so important, it's not something that we should allow governments or politicians to decide whether or not it happens. It's something that the people, we need to do it together, we need to organize and coordinate, and just do it as a people to celebrate our culture and our values.
Okay. Rain, thank you so much, which brings me to a question for Dr. Williams, because Dr. Williams, you mentioned when you were growing up in the South that Black history was a matter of course. What changed, if anything, when you moved north? What observations did you make as it relates to educating our young people and Black history?
Well, first of all, I find people denying that it's necessary, like Sister Stacy, and, you know, forgetting that we didn't always have an opportunity to tell our history. It was, you know, during colonial days that things were happening, but all that we would hear about was the negative. And we don't hear anybody saying or criticizing white media, you know, because they don't have to add white to theirs. It is their history they're telling. But when we say Black history, we are simply trying to bring out some of the positive. I remember once I made a speech and a U.S. senator's wife came to me afterwards and she said, "Ooh, you make it sound like Black people invented everything." And I said, "Well, they were doing the work. I mean, doesn't it make sense that Black people invented most of the things they needed for their work?" And that's why it was important to me as a young person to learn about all of the inventions that were out there that our people created. And sometimes other people, meaning white people, took credit for it, took it away from us. So I know that many of the important inventions to do work were created by Black people. We're just trying to play catch up. up and talking about ourselves. And one of the things that people like Stacey and white people need to understand is we're not sitting around talking bad about them. We're simply trying to bring out our positive history when we talk about black history or whatever, when we celebrate our blackness. We learned, you know, during the civil rights movement, if not before, that black really is beautiful. And so we're just simply celebrating that. But it doesn't mean we're saying white is negative. It doesn't have to be. Of course, many people would know that if they were listening to the campaigns today of nameless people, but I know who they are, who are talking about taking back their country. Mm-hmm. You know, we know exactly what they mean. That means taking it back from us. But unless they were here when Native Americans were here, then it's not their country. They took the country from someone else, and we're not trying to do that with their history. We're not taking their history. We want to tell the truth, the good, the bad, the ugly. We want to tell all of that history, but ours has to be included for us to tell it all.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Talking about Black History Month, is it time for us to reexamine how we look at February? Wren, calling from Annapolis. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
What's on my mind is I'm asking a question. Is why are we calling ourselves black as a people? Nothing about us is black as a people. I mean, our hair is black, but does that define us as a people because our hair is black?
Okay, let me see if Dr. Carr can at least.
You've been called everything.
Well, Wren, let me see if Dr. Carr can at least begin to address your question.
Well,
Dr. Carr?
I'd say very quickly that we didn't have a name, brother. We were somebody's mother, father, children when we were brought here in the largest forced migration in human history. And when we got here, there were no white people. There were people from England, from Ireland, from Scotland. And that these racial identities really revolve around whiteness, the creation of that white racial identity. Black, in the common parlance, is really more a political formation now. It's a political name. And we are from the continent of Africa, so we refer to ourselves as African Americans. But you're talking about thousands of different languages, millions of people from the largest continent on the planet who are forced into a space where we have to create an identity. And that's very much a work in progress, brother. So why are we calling ourselves black? Well, if you got a better idea, maybe we can reach some consensus. Who knows what we'll be calling ourselves?
And I also think that it's important that we call ourselves black, because then we can identify with people all around the world who are black. But when we call ourselves African American alone, there are whites, you know, from South Africa who can call themselves African Americans. So we can use the terms interchangeably depending upon what we mean at the moment. I don't find any of them insulting. I believe black is beautiful. I believe that I have to identify with the continent of Africa. So I use both terms interchangeably.
Not to mention that there are black people that are not just, you know, considered African American. You've got people in South America. You have people in Canada.
We can go on and on in Cuba.
So I think, Wren, that, you know, that may just be an argument that you may be wasting your breath on just a little bit. There are bigger fish to fry, or at least bake. I need to take a break coming up in just a little bit, but I want to continue this conversation. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Lisa, Jackson, Sonny, stay on the line. You will be able to hear the program. I want to talk to you. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. Keep calling 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. More of this conversation in just a few seconds. Stay with us.
The Howard University Radio.